Welcome to Ask and It Is Given. For almost 20 years, Esther and Jerry Hicks have brought forward the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham to audiences worldwide. These energies speak through Esther as they answer questions and offer teachings from their non-physical perspective. In the next hour, you'll hear Esther Hicks and Abraham explain many powerful laws of the universe and answer questions from audience members. Today's show was recorded in Syracuse, New York in 2001.
We notice that as we ask this question, and we always do, that depending upon the degree of the contrast, your answers vary. And for most of our physical friends, most of our physical human friends, the less extreme the contrast is, the more you say, yes, contrast is fine. The greater the contrast is, the more your words don't match your vibration when you give us the answer that you know we want to hear. Because contrast truly does serve you in a very powerful way. And even though we know that as you stand in your human form, and you look at the part of contrast that pleases you, that it's easy for you to feel good under those conditions. And that when you look at the contrast that does not please you, that it's harder for you to feel good. And so most human friends, really, even though you hear us and you even from your own internal perspective of inner being, understand that contrast produces clarity of desire and that desire summons source energy and that all of that can only be good, still we see that in times of great contrast, when you are looking at things truly not wanted, that most of you then would opt, if you could and you can't, which is good, for less contrast. When you come to the place of recognizing that out of contrast is born clear desire, and that desire that is born is asking that summon source energy, and that whenever there is asking, there is always the yielding of the answer. So source energy is only coming stronger and clearer as you ask in these highly focused times. And then there is a current or a river of source energy that is so beneficial to all who then allow it. Those are the key words, aren't they? Who then allow it. So what we notice in times of greater contrast, and certainly this is one of those, the dynamics of your culture become more easily definable. Because as the energy is moving more rapidly as a result of the high degree of asking, then those who manage to get in sync with it thrive in ways they have not known before. While those who do not get in sync with it because their attention upon the contrast is holding them in stronger than usual places of resistance, then they experience more trouble, trauma, sickness, sadness than ever before. And so what an opportunity for those who are learning about the art of allowing. There is not an easier time to know about the art of allowing than in the time of swifter energy. It's sort of like if you are moving your vehicle at a very high rate of speed, your attention upon what you're doing with it is highly recommended by those who have gone before. When you're moving very slowly, you can talk on your phone or program your global positioning satellite or put on your makeup or write a letter to your friend, and your attention to your driving is not so important. But at those high, high rates of speed, attention to what you're focused upon benefits you. And the same sort of thing happens in times of greater energy moving. And think about it. When you get a global event or an event that is focused upon globally, and out of it, desire is emanating from those, whether they speak it or not. And desire, we might say, on all sides of any issue. In other words, it's just not one side of an issue that the desire is being answered. All sides of all issues, the desire is being answered. And so these are very fast-moving energy times. And so an effort at practicing the art of allowing will benefit you extremely well, which means you want to do your best moment by moment to get up to speed with the energy that is flowing to you and through you. And in doing so, it's what causes people to look back on times of crises and say, what a clarifying experience that was, and how aren't we all better off as a result of it? It requires stepping back from the details we know. You cannot stand in the shadow of the rubble and find that place easily, or at least most cannot. But as you step back, reclaim your balance, and then benefit from the energy stream that has come about as a result of it, then your lives improve fantastically, even more so than if you had not been stimulated to greater summoning of energy in the first place. And so we talk about allowing in comparison to resisting. In other words, resisting is not letting it in. Allowing is letting it in. So when we speak about allowing, we're talking about letting it in or receiving fully the benefit of that which you've been asking for. So if there is something that you want, and you know you want it, and you're not yet living it, it is not manifested in your experience, it is because the third part of the equation is out of whack. You're not letting it in. It's like the radio tower broadcasting, and you're sitting there with your radio turned off, and you say, where is my music? And a wise friend who's gone before you would say, turn on your radio. You must be in the receiving mode. And so you turn on your radio and you say, that's not music. That's not what I want to hear. And then your wise friend that has come before would say, adjust your dial. Set yourself to the receiving mode of that which you're wanting to receive. What is the frequency that your music is being broadcast? Set your radio tuner to the same frequency and receive it. And the science of deliberate creation is exactly that same process. You must set your tuner, which is you and the way you feel in response to what you're thinking. You must set your tuner to the frequency that allows the reception of that which you have been asking for. If you are not in vibrational harmony with the desire that you want so much to receive, then you cannot receive it. Not because you haven't asked, and not because source energy is not yielding it, but because you are vibrationally different from the desire you are asking for. You see, this universe is energy-based. It is all about vibration. And law of attraction is managing it. And so if you want something, you must be a vibrational match to it. That's all there is to it. So what that says in very simple terms is when you desire something and you are feeling eagerness or joy or appreciation or passion, then in those feelings of what you would call positive emotion, you are in the receiving mode. And as you maintain that reception for a very short time, much shorter than any of you realize, you will be the full receiver of that which you are asking for. But if you are feeling fear or vulnerability or anger, or hatred or revenge or blame or guilt or any of those emotions that you would describe as negative emotions, then simply put, you are not in the receiving mode of these good things you ask for, and you cannot let them into your experience as long as you feel that way. Sometimes our physical friends are confused about how they really feel about a lot of things. And it isn't until something happens that really stirs you up that you have a keen awareness of how you are feeling. But what practicing the art of allowing really is about paying attention to the way you feel. In fact, it is about letting the way you feel be your top priority so that you are utilizing your magnificent guidance system so that in all moments you know what your reception mode is, so that you can tell whether you're letting in wellness, whether you're letting in abundance, whether you're letting in clarity, whether you're letting in the well-being that you so much want and absolutely deserve, or whether you, by virtue of something that you are focused upon, are holding yourself apart from it. The greatest fallacy that physical humans commonly believe that hinders them more than all other things put together, in fact, it is at the root of all things not going the way they want it to go, is that they continue to believe that it is the controlling of conditions or the controlling of circumstances that is necessary in order for them to feel better. As they look out into a world with things that do not please them, they seem to have this tenacious desire to hammer into place all of those conditions so that they can look around their world and feel good wherever they look. An impossible task. It is not working well for anyone, not even for one. And then they say, well, not only can we not control the conditions, but we cannot get others to agree with us about how the conditions should be controlled. So then they begin to look for another position of explanation in order to hopefully bring themselves back into a better feeling place. So they say things like, God should take care of this. We need some greater power now to control the conditions. And what they do not realize is that that greater power, which they are calling God, would never attempt to control the conditions, because that source energy is rooting for the variety which causes the balance. And because that greater source energy understands that anyone who wants anything has only to align to it vibrationally, and it will be their experience without the controlling of the conditions of all others. And in that knowledge, there is absolute freedom. Freedom from anything that you don't want to live, and freedom from the negative emotion that comes about as you worry about all of those things that you are not wanting to live. True, absolute, and utter freedom comes to you when you discover that you have guidance within you that helps you to choose thought, that puts you in the place of being a vibrational match only to that which you're wanting to live. It lets you off the hook because it gives you the freedom of never again having to control another, which you are utterly unable to do. We are eager to visit with you about anything that is important to you. All things are appropriate here. It is our desire, as we hear you and feel you sniffing out your vibration, to assist you in returning again and again and again and again to your connection to who you are, and therefore to that which you want. You are ready to begin? Third row right here, and then on the aisle here.
Good morning. My son, who just started the new school year, doesn't seem to want to apply himself in his studies. And every year it's been, he's in seventh grade, so virtually for every year the teachers will say, you know, Matt doesn't work to his ability, you know, he's a smart kid, but he doesn't work to his ability, and that's just over and over and over again. And, you know, being a coach and wanting to make a difference for everybody, and having it be so close to home.
Stop for just a moment before you go further. Yeah. And think about what that coach is doing in comparison with this coach that we are just talking to.
Right.
In other words, his teacher is looking right at what she does not want to see, giving it her full attention, reflecting it back. And so maybe you'd like to coach the coach.
Right. Yeah, because I'm coaching him and I'm saying, you know, I'm looking at what does he want? How does he want to feel? You know, he loves to play basketball, and they won't let you play if you don't have a certain average. So I keep having him focusing on, you know, his basketball and tying in his studies, that's just part of what goes along, and getting him to find some joy in it and supporting him in that. But it gets hard in a system that's, you know, that kind of beats on you.
Well, let's talk about this just for a moment from a different vantage point. So you understand that whatever you give your attention to, law of attraction is going to help it be more.
Right.
So imagine being a youngster who has been moving through his own comparative experience and out of it has defined some things that he chooses that he would like to focus upon, basketball being one of them.
Right.
And there are a number of things that he has honed from his experience that he has interest in.
Being a socialite.
Isn't that a wonderful thing? In other
words,
we think it is the interpersonal relationships that is the greatest value of being in school, far more than the information that is in the books.
Right. I agree. See, I agree with that.
So here he is. Imagine what it is like. Out of what he has been living, he has defined two or three things that really matter to him. Being a socialite, playing basketball, getting ready to drive, having exposure to more life experience. And imagine being in a situation where there are all kinds of other adults that have already been through all of that, who have long forgotten what it feels like to be upon the brink of all that excitement, who have looked out into this quickly evolving informational environment and who say, well, we have brought to you all of these piles of information that we know you find boring and we know that you don't think are important to you, but here it is. And there are literally mountains of information that are placed before them that, as far as they are concerned, have no place in their experience. In fact, most who move through the school system will say, well, I remember memorizing all that stuff for the test, but I didn't really learn it. And it wasn't until 20 years later when I had a reason to want to know it that I sought it out again and learned it quickly. Or you'll hear adults say, I don't know why that was so hard for me when I was in school. Now it seems like an easy thing. So there are two things that we would say to him. First, we would say, anything that you ever want to know will come easily to you whenever you want to know it. And the next thing that we would say, and this is for the purpose of building the bridge between the world that he seems to have to be part of and the world that he wants to be part of, because that's the dilemma that you're feeling. You'd like to say, oh, just forget it all and follow your bliss, but you know that's not going to go over well with the school system, and it's not going to get him playing basketball, and it's ultimately going to cause more grief than it is joy. And so you're trying to find a way of bridging the whole thing. And this is the bridge that we would use. I felt just like you feel. I understand, I think, pretty much how you are feeling. I'm on your side about this. But, or and, now that I understand about focus and about law of attraction and about universal forces, and now I have such a multidimensional life where there are so many things that I would like to give my attention to, I can't help but feel a little jealous about anyone who's in a learning environment where you actually have a block of time that has been specifically carved out in all of this universe, giving you an opportunity to focus upon something and just let information roll into your mind. How refreshing it would be for me as an adult to have an hour where the whole rest of the world stood still, where there wasn't one other demand, like making money or needing to be somewhere else or something else being expected of me. A whole hour carved out that was just devoted, that I could just sit and breathe in pure, delicious information relative to one subject. And I almost wish that I could get back in your classroom and sit where you're sitting and have the luxury of knowing what I now no, having that information seep into my consciousness. And maybe with some genuine articulation coming from you, you can activate within him an appreciation of this time. Because what you're wanting to say is, time moves so fast. And these are such precious times. And say to him, and I don't see why you can't be in the classroom and be infinitely aware of the girls in the classroom or infinitely aware of what others are thinking of you. You can have four or five intentions within this segment of time and satisfy all of them. But just don't push so hard against this particular class that you put yourself in a place of resistance so that you don't shine. And we think that he will hear it. We watched Esther yesterday. It was really a funny thing to see. They're parked in a very strange place. In the book, it sounded like a place to park their coach. But when they got there, it was nothing like that. It was actually a place where many permanent mobile homes are rooted. And out by the street next to a fence was a place they could plug in. And so when they got there, for a moment they thought, maybe we won't even do this. But then they thought, well, it's close to the hotel, and why not? And as they settled in, they actually really liked the way it felt, and so they've been very happy there for a day or two. So then Esther awakened the next morning thinking about putting a little bit of order in the coach, and she thought, there's some boxes I need to move out. And then she thought, I didn't see a dumpster. And then she thought, well, there was a garbage can out there by the pole where we plugged in. I suppose that's for our use. And then she thought, maybe I'll just bag up some things and drop it out the back window, and then when I go out, I'll put it in the garbage can. And so she sort of put her thoughts toward this for maybe 5 or 10 minutes as she was first waking up, sort of thinking about the way the day would unfold. So later in the day, they'd worked on editing tapes, and they were having a very good time. And Esther said, I think I'll take the garbage out. So she took the can and took the little white bag and tied it up. And then she thought, oh, yeah, I was going to drop it out the back window. So she opened the back window of the motorhome on the side, and she thought, I'll just drop it on the ground. I don't think there are any dogs around that will bother it until I can get out there and put it away. And then she looked over, and she saw the garbage can was about 20 feet away, and it was open. And she thought, I'll bet that I can lay that right in there. And she did. She right in. Well, you'd thought she'd won the Nobel Peace Prize. Jerry thought he would never hear the end of it. She's looking all around for other things that she can throw in it. Do you have any more garbage, she said? Isn't there anything around somewhere that I could throw over there? Now, what we're getting at here, why is something so insignificant, so life-giving? It is because she thought about it in advance. In other words, it was sort of pre-planning that came into place. It felt to her as if all of the resources, she felt that the basketball player that must surely be a part of her inner being came and played with her. In other words, and as you have experiences like this, you come to realize, and you're wanting to impart it to others, that anything that you decide that you want to do, when you are in alignment with source energy, you can easily achieve. And life is so much fun. Knowing the answer to a question, even though you have not had strong interest in it, having interest in knowing the answer to the question causes you to listen in a way that you literally know what questions to listen for. In other words, if your son does nothing more than say, I want good grades so that I can play basketball, as he sets that into motion, he will set into motion, with all of these helpers that are there to assist him, special attention will come to him when there is something that is meaningful that somebody else has already decided that later they're going to ask. In other words, even the questions that will be put upon the tests are inspired by what he comes to know, or he's inspired to come to know the answers to the questions that will be put there. It's a magical thing. In other words, the reason that we're telling you about Esther putting this into the garbage can is because she did not practice it. She did not worry about it. She did not study it every day. She did not check out the distances. She did not park specifically so that she would be in proximity. There was no information that she had gathered before that made that moment in time a successful moment. And that's what you're wanting to convey. We don't have to work hard at being successful about things that are important. Things that are important are strong asking. Universal forces give the answer. And we can have a very good time on our way to the achievement of anything we want. It's the way it's supposed to be. That's your message to your son. Oh, how thrilling that would be. Can you imagine to be a teenager and hear that from someone you love and trust?
Stay with us for more of Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture brought through Esther Hicks from the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham. To learn more about Esther Hicks and Abraham, visit hayhouse.com.
Thanks for listening to HayHouseRadio.com.
See vibrational healer and psychic Sonia Choquette live in a city near you. In her new Soul Lessons and Soul Purpose 2007 tour, Sonia will teach you the basic soul lessons and help you master certain teachings in order to fulfill your soul purpose. Taking this path will open the way for you to begin living as a joyful, free being. Release yourself and the world from negative energy today. Plus, Sonia will be available to answer your questions and sign autographs. Call now, 800-654-5126 or visit HayHouse.com. You're invited to join five Hay House authors on an Eastern Caribbean health and healing cruise November 10th through the 17th. Sail away with Crystal Andrus, Peggy McCall, Dr. Darren Weissman, and medical intuitives Carol Reitberger and Caroline Sutherland on this Caribbean adventure in health and healing. Visit www.reitberger.com, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com for more information or for online registration.
Thank you for tuning into HayHouseRadio.com. You're listening to the best inspirational talk radio anywhere. We broadcast live, original shows 5 days a week that will give you new ideas for creating an abundant, successful, and joy-filled life. We hope you'll discover a few favorites, bookmark our site, and keep coming back for more of HayHouseRadio.com. Radio for your soul.
Find spirituality in all of your relationships with world-famous psychic Sylvia Brown in her new 2007 Spiritual Connections Multi-City Tour. Let Sylvia guide you to more fulfilling relationships and help you attract more positive people in your life. Special bonus, intuitive Colette Baron-Reed is co-hosting this lecture with Sylvia and will provide live readings to select audience members. Tickets are selling fast, so call now, 800-654-5126 or visit sylvia.org.
How would you like a guidebook for aligning yourself with the universe and living a simple and balanced life? Dr. Wayne W. Dyer has spent the last year working on this manual on the art of living, and he'll share some of its most valuable lessons this October during a life-changing weekend intensive workshop in Maui. Wayne's groundbreaking message of balance, perspective, and the greater good will forever change the way you look at your life. See Wayne Dyer live in Maui on October 26th through the 28th. Visit www.drwaynedyer.com for details.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith.
Cecilia, Amazing Grace. Available at HayHouse.com.
Make me a channel of your peace. It is important.
Hello, I'm Louise Hay. Congratulations, you found us. Welcome to HayHouseRadio.com, radio for your soul.
We now return to Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture from Esther Hicks as she channels a group of evolved beings collectively known as Abraham.
Last week I was diagnosed with osteoporosis.
Good.
Why do you say good?
Because wherever you're standing is only a point in time where a new desire is formulating, which means you're asking. And whenever you ask, Source Energy answers. So you've been prompted to ask, Source Energy will answer, and then you'll be on to something else. So we are just celebrating the desire that is within you, knowing the outcome. Physical beings think that, oh, I hope I don't ever get into a position where I'm told something like that. And we say, then you don't know what we know, that whatever has produced the question within you has also produced the answer that will come. And so that's why we say you cannot get it wrong and you will never get it done. And the reason you can't get it wrong is because it's never done. So here you are, contrast produces desire. You focus on the desire and you have manifestation. So now you have a new platform. So here you are standing here with a diagnosis that you don't want, which is contrast, which produces a desire, which Source Energy will answer. So because you don't ever get it done, you're never finished. It would be like being a molder of clay and understanding that the clay always stays soft and pliable. So you create something and you don't like the looks of it. And we say, no problem, mold it some more. And so you mold it some more and you say, there, that's better. But that's a little boring. So then you mess it up a little. And then you say, well, I don't like that. And then you smooth it out. And then you say, that's better, but it's a little boring. So then you mess it up. And then you say, oh, but I don't like the looks of that. And then you smooth it out. And then you say, well, that's better. Your life really is like that, in that you get to continually chew on the contrast which produces the desire which Source Energy will answer, which you will allow. So you're just constantly evolving, constantly amending your desire. The thing that you are currently believing, a bit, not much, but a bit, it's really a big part of your mass consciousness, is that my physical body is a vulnerable thing, and once I get something that I do not want, then I'm sort of stuck with this thing that I do not want. And we say, certainly it does not have to be that way, because when you get something that you do not want, you also get a desire that wants something else that the universe immediately goes to work on answering. So it all depends on what you believe, what happens next. And so when any student in any environment asks a question, we always say, good. Because we know the asking of a question is going to summon an answer. So when you say, I've been diagnosed with something, we said, good. Because we know that that will summon unto you.
What puzzled me is that the doctor had told me before that I was at risk of it, but I didn't
tell everybody that. They tell everybody that. You were at risk of dying, too. Did they tell you that? Everybody is standing in the category of either being cancerous or precancerous also. They would not say to you, you are cancer-free, you are risk-free. Mm-hmm. And you say, but do I have cancer? And they'd say, not yet. At least I don't think so.
But I didn't believe him. I was shocked that I had it. And I've been healthy all of my life, and so...
Are there not enormous degrees within it? What does it really mean? We'll tell you.
Okay.
Did you say to your doctor, you know, I've noticed that I'm different than when I was 2? I'd hoped that I would be able to hold myself in that place, but I moved from that and became something different. And so what we're getting at is your body is always changing, and you have the ability to allow well-being in the process or not. And there is a big labyrinth of thought people got in it and they're all scrambling around in it. And they keep dragging other people into it. And they sort of swirl around in there together. That goes something like, once something begins, it gets worse, 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 worse. Do you know that there are people who really believe that you start out little and incomplete, and then you add unto, and you get bigger and stronger, and then you reach this sort of peak of physical perfection, and then it's downhill forevermore. This long or short slippery slide toward an inevitable crashing and burning in a heap of death. That's what's swirling around in that labyrinth. And there are people that go to school to be trained to watch for evidence of that in anyone who's silly enough to let them look. You see. Do you know that if you went for examinations, and there are all kinds of ways, they could test you in terms of brain patterns, they could test you in terms of blood flow and heart rate. The tests are endless. There are thousands upon thousands of examinations that they could utilize to see you. And if you went every hour for the rest of your life, you would get an infinite variety of readings. And then there is the big thing that we would like to say to you, which is the test is very different on a day that you are disconnected than it, the outcome of the test than on a day that you are connected. Not let them clump you into a category that says this is the way it will unfold. Say, I will be the one who decides how it unfolds. I have been stimulated to a desire that is being answered that I will allow. End of subject. There's nothing else to talk about. How somebody else has evolved from that place forward. As you say, well, this is the way I see it. And your doctor says, well, excuse me, but I think that is a little Pollyanna. Say to him, Pollyanna thrived. Pollyanna lived happily ever after. And I intend to too. And as your doctor says, oh, but you don't understand. These are the statistics that we've gathered. And we say, those are statistics about other people. Those are statistics about other belief systems. Those are statistics about other vibrational countenances. Those are statistics not about me. Those are statistics that don't have anything to do with me. And he says, well, I don't have many statistics about you. And you say, well, we don't come to you. Those of us who are thriving are not looking for trouble.
I felt that I was thriving before I had this test. Before coming here, I was going to do what the doctor suggested, which is to take medication that will reverse the condition.
Well, there is not anything inappropriate with that either. In other words, as you think about taking the medication, does it make you feel better?
Taking medication has not been something that I've ever liked doing, you know, other than antibiotics. I haven't ever taken.
When you eat food, does it bother you?
No.
When you say, I eat this nurturing food, and so can you see it as nurturing substance?
Yeah.
And so now you're in balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What made you go there to begin with?
Just to have a physical, just for reassurance.
Didn't work out very well, did it? And so, because you did not believe in your own ability to be well, and it's all right, many don't. In your environment, we certainly understand that.
But I did.
Then why did you go? In other words, if you'd really believed, mm-hmm. you would not have needed reassurance. Mm-hmm. So there was some doubt there that you were wanting to satisfy. You didn't feel centered. You felt like you needed the process. But from your place of not feeling very good, the amplification of the process only made you feel worse. And this is the same sort of thing, isn't it? When you stand in a place of not feeling good, and then you're looking outside of yourself for something to make you feel better, very often there is an amplification, because law of attraction is going to match you up with things that are going to amplify what you're feeling. That's why we always say it's a much better idea to reclaim your balance and then take any action that is inspired. So we're just trying to help you understand this. There's no right or wrong in it. So from your place of wanting the reassurance that you were well and wanting to believe that you were, but not quite believing that you were, in other words, there was enough doubt within there, you went and received a reading on it. Now, there are those who would say, well, Abraham, couldn't you say that she wants well-being and for whatever reason is not in a place of well-being, and so she was guided to the experience that is leading her to the solution that she ultimately wants. And we say that is certainly another way of looking at it. We would say that your desire for well-being is the most powerful desire that is within you. It is pulsing more strongly than anything. And when you hold a vibration that doesn't completely match that desire for well-being, then there are all kinds of experiences that you may have, and each of them serves in that contrasting fashion as an amplification of desire. So you actually came out of this diagnosis with a stronger desire than you've ever had before to have physical well-being. In other words, there's more asking going on, and so there is more source energy coming. And so if you can just not let the diagnosis itself serve as the catalyst that holds you in that place of resistance, then the whole thing is a very beneficial thing, isn't it? Got you focused again. In other words, people feel irritation when we say things like, this catastrophe that has happened in New York and in Washington has summoned more energy than ever before, and your planet will benefit from it. Because sometimes they say, well, we would have just as soon done without it. We didn't need a catastrophe in order to have a focused point of desire. And we say, well, desire is always going to come forth, and it always comes from the contrast that you're living, and law of attraction is always matching it up just right. So rather than arguing with the culmination, instead take benefit from the focus that comes from it, and then do your best to get back into alignment as quickly as you can. And you can. You know how to do it. You do it all the time. You just had a personal and a global upheaval all at the same time, but both of them will serve you extremely well. Yes. Indeed. Yes, indeed.
In my religious background, I spoke in tongues and believed it was communication directly with God.
It is.
The Holy Spirit living within.
It is.
Well, I know better now as far as where and who God is, and I'm not sure if I was communicating with anybody. But but it sure felt good. Would
then you
suggest...
Why do you question it now?
Because I seen my life change by listening to Abraham's teachings. And I guess I just would like affirmation of, I would like an answer as to how I would use this now. Yeah, I would like to know if I find myself, my mind strays just like everybody else's. And I found that when I did hum or speak in tongues to myself, that it kept my mind just idle, the way I would like to sit in my flower garden and just have it idle. But as I saw, see my mind maybe wandering a little, if I was just to do that rather than try to give thought to something, that it would help me. I believe it would help me. I'm probably answering my own question here.
You are. Get out.
Thank you very much.
We want to clarify this just a little bit with you, because as we are visiting with you here, we are not whispering words to Esther that she is repeating. We're offering block of thought. So she is receiving a vibrational downloading, so to speak, of information that she is then translating into the physical word equivalent. In the process that you were describing of speaking in tongues, the same sort of thing was happening. You were asking and you were receiving a block of information, but you were translating it differently than is being translated here. Now, what we're really wanting to talk about is the degree of resistance. In other words, if you are fully understanding that you have the ability to translate, do you know that vibration can be translated in many ways other than words? Yes. In other words, you are receiving a whole lot of information that you could not even translate into words. You are knowing much more than you speak with your words, just as your dog is knowing much more than it speaks with its words. And so the translation into the word is not so important. So whether it is a word that is comprehensible or whether it is a word that is gibberish is not as important as everyone is making it out to be, because there is knowing that is coming. As we observe your vibration, as we are expressing to you here, we notice that you are all receiving vibrationally much more than you are receiving auditorily. We are expressing to you on many levels of your being, you see. And so when you said, what were your words? You don't think that you were talking with anybody?
And I'm not sure if I was communicating with anybody.
Why do you question that now? We think the big difference between you now and you then. In both situations, you are asking. In both situations, you're wanting source energy. In both situations, you're asking for it. In both situations, you are an extension of it. But now you've learned to allow the fullness of who you are, and then there was more resistance within you. We would say that is the only difference. Something more occurred to you just now?
No, I was thinking of why it was different now. I mean, back then, I was communicating with a God that was up there on a throne somewhere. But yet I had that belief, but I also believed that the Holy Ghost was in me.
Yes. Whether you call it inner being or Holy Ghost, whether you call it creative life force or God, the label that you assign is not very important. But we think the big difference now as compared to then is that now you are more aware of the way you feel. And now you're reaching for more thoughts that feel better. And now you are allowing more of who you really are to flow. Where most, not always, but most who are thinking of God on a throne are thinking of God disapproving of me as he views me from his throne. God who sees all kinds of failings in me, who sees me as someone who needs to work very hard to make up the difference between where I am and where God thinks I should be. And we think you've left those thoughts behind. You are much more appreciative of who you are. You are reaching for thoughts that feel better. You are on constant rampages of appreciation. You have found tools that have softened the resistance that you've naturally picked up along your physical trail, so that now when you are asking, you are receiving fully. And so if we were in a situation like that in your physical body, we would be listening for the inner message. We would not be listening for the verbal message. We would be having the experience of it. And that's what you said you finally came around to. You found it a centering experience. You found it a distracting from negative thing experience. You found it a sort of soothing, almost meditative experience. And so we would spend no time looking back at it and calling it less than it should have been or less than something else is. It is a tool that served you and still serves many very well.
I'm in the process of redefining myself and my life, the priorities that I have, and basically getting rid of a lot of resistance. And
before you go further, let us just insert a little aside here. Everyone is always in the process of redefining themselves because contrast makes that happen. You cannot help but evaluate from where you are, and you cannot help but exude desires and preferences from where you are. So that happens all the time, every time. But the second part of your statement is the best thing that we've ever heard from anyone. I'm in the process of consciously releasing resistance.
And I'm also aware, thank you for reminding me of it, that the two are linked. So when you open your sessions by, are you appreciating the contrast of your time and place? Never before have I enjoyed so much the sensation of, wow, here's some contrast. That means I have some resistance. I can release. I now know what it is. And I engage in the process of letting it go. And there's the redefinition.
But let us clarify something for you. The fact that contrast exists does not mean you have resistance. Contrast exists.
Yes.
Contrast good.
Yeah, and it feels good.
Contrast is a wonderful thing, you see.
Yes.
And usually when we use the word contrast, what you always hear when we use the word contrast is stuff I don't want.
Yep.
That's not what we mean by contrast. We mean variety of exposure to experience. And do you know, some of your most powerful desires are the reason for contrast in your life, because you can't have expanding ideas without a variety of stuff to discern from. So do not assume that contrast in your life means resistance. Contrast in your life means you're alive. Contrast
okay,
in your life means you're part of a contrasting universe. Contrast in your life means you are a creator in an environment where there is enormous variety from which you will hone your ideas. Contrast is like being a chef in a well-stocked kitchen. And a chef in a well-stocked kitchen does not look around at all of the variety of ingredients and say, I've been bad. He says, I must have been really good. Look at all of this stuff from which I can choose to create. Yes.
Well, you offer, I'll digress from my small agenda here for a second, because it strikes me as very valuable, from my position at least. You've redefined contrast, certainly in the way that I've been using it, and perhaps many others. And so what would we use as a word which depicted a string of events which were unwanted by virtue of our attracting them, but that we were unaware that we were attracting them?
A curse. We would call that a tenacious holding to resistance by virtue of attention to the string of events. And we would say it is a imbalanced utilization of the contrast. In other words, if a bunch of things are happening that you don't want, it just means that you're giving your attention to them as they are happening and setting up more of a vibration about them, which is disallowing more of what you do want.
Yes. And what I've noticed in that process, in keeping with what you're saying, is that a lot of the attention was unconscious attention. At least it was so low level as to not be dominating my conscious awareness.
Well, that's a wonderful thing, because what happens, we're teasing you as we say a curse, because what we really mean is we would call it a landscape for opportunity for birthing of more desire. Because that's really what it is. In other words, within that is always born the desire. And what you're talking about is sometimes you are offering vibrations at such unconscious levels of offering them that it isn't until law of attraction goes to work on them and makes them more that you have any conscious realization of them. And the fun in releasing resistance deliberately is that you become more sensitive to the way that you feel. For example, many people who are close to Jerry and Esther, who have been hearing Jerry say over the period of the last several months, we made a decision a while ago not to fly anymore. We decided to get this bus and fly less and less, and then this year we made a decision not even to take one flight. And so people listening into that said, did Abraham know what was coming? And did Abraham tell you to stay out of the air? And Jerry and Esther said, no, it wasn't anything like that. We were just gravitating to what felt best. In other words, as the airlines began feeling more and more inconvenient and less joyful, and there were more and more delays and more spending time in airports than we were comfortable with, we just opted for something that felt more comfortable. And so what we're saying to you is, as you are reaching for things that feel better, the more picky you become. In other words, there are a lot of people who are just grinning and bearing it. They're just putting up with it. But as you get really, really sensitive to the way you feel, you reach a place where you're not willing to endure 3 extra hours in an airport. You'll find another way. Or you reach the place that you're not willing to listen to somebody tell you something that you know is not true and just accept it as truth because everyone else is. In other words, your own guidance system is helping you to sort all of this out. And out of that honing process is born more and more significant desires. And in all of that becomes a sensitivity, you see. And so the way that you feel a subtle vibration more is either by being more sensitive to the subtle vibration or by the vibration getting so big it is not subtle.
Yep.
And so if you are not becoming more sensitive so that you notice the subtle vibration more, law of attraction is just going to make it bigger, in which case you will notice it. And we say either one works fine for you. It just depends upon how much pleasure or joy you intend to have along the way.
To learn more about Abraham, visit hayhouse.com to find the books, The Law of Attraction, and Ask and It Is Given by Jerry and Esther Hicks. You may also visit their website at abraham-hicks.com. Join us again next time for another hour of Ask and It Is Given.